All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. We'll stop there. We'll just kind of go through this verse by verse this morning, I think. And Jesus spake unto them again by parables. Again, I've always understood that Jesus spoke in parables to make things understandable. But we find in Matthew chapter 13, let's just turn there, we'll keep your fingers here. Turn to Matthew 13. Verse 13. The disciples came in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has, that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they cannot hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Here Jesus makes it very clear the reason he spoke in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They don't have a heart to hear the Word of God. And if they did hear it, what they do hear, think this fits very well with what it says in Matthew, not to cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet. Cast not that which is holy to the dogs. Give not pearls to the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and then turn again and rend you. It says here that, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I don't understand all of this, what this means. But I can see it lived out today. Men's hearts that are waxed hard and dull take the word of God and are healed. And they're changed from some of the bad lifestyles that they've had before. But they still don't have ears to hear the Lord. They have a form of the gospel. They hear the words. And they are changed. I believe when the Lord died for mankind, He died for all mankind. When He came, He healed everyone that came to Him. I don't know of an account in the Bible that He didn't heal those who came to Him. But yet, we find very, very few people that actually were His disciples and followed Him. They heard some of the things that He said. There's power in His words to heal. When Jesus died and overcame Satan, He overcame Satan for the whole world. And He broke the bonds of sin for the whole world. But that does not make you a follower of Christ. The promises of the kingdom of God are for those who will hear His will and do it. None of us are worthy of the healing or worthy of the King coming. But those who will humble themselves and listen with their ears for the King, that'll hear His words, not hear with their own ears and with their own eyes, but to hear with the eyes of faith, to hear with the ears of faith, and to see with the eyes of faith. But He spoke these words in parables so that only those who had ears to truly hear would hear them. I think that's part of that fits right along with casting your pearls before the swine. There's people that just are not ready for the promises of God. And for I don't know how many years, I said a few weeks ago that probably one of the worst things that could have happened was the Bible was given to people who were not ready to hear it. In Isaiah, it talks about Isaiah 66. Verse 4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, that He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But they shall appear to your joy. But He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. God's word is not to be trampled. God's word is not to be just cast out before the swine. The precious things. God tells us to go into the world, and our message is that of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. We're to instruct and teach the world the way that God wants men to walk and live. But when we go to casting Jesus out before a bunch of swine, they're going to jump all over Him. When we go to casting out the precious promises, we see books in the bookstore sometimes, the promises of God, or God's book of promises. That's nothing but casting pearls before swine. Absolutely nothing. Because those promises are not fit for, they're not the people who would take those promises that are not trembling at His word are not worthy of those promises. See that trembles at His word. Whenever Hezekiah found the Bible again, he trembled that they had offended God when he began to read the Bible again. That's who the Word of God is for. And just to give it out to anybody and say, here, pick out your own promises. All you're doing is inviting the door open for someone to start another religion apart from following Jesus. Word of God is precious, but it's so common today that it means nothing. One time I was preaching in Tulsa at the state fair. They just had it this last week. But I was out there preaching, and there was some people that were there that came and they stood in front of me. And I've done some of the same things. I always try whenever I pass out tracts, if someone drops one, I'd pick it up. Keep from littering. There were some people passing out the good news. how to be saved in four easy steps. Passing out the tracts of how people need to be saved without teaching people how to live. Just teaching how to be saved. And I stood there and was preaching and was holding the signs and was there for maybe an hour. And by the time I left, I was literally ankle deep in tracts that people were just throwing down and just trampling. And they still were just handing them out as fast as they could hand them out, thinking they were doing something for God. It became very vivid and clear in my mind. Cast not your pearls before the swine. There's precious promises in the Word of God. Whenever we pick them out and give them to the dogs, we're not doing God any favors at all. His message to this world is sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And when they tremble at that, we can give them a few of the promises. Back to Matthew 22. This is why he speaks in parables. So that those that cannot understand will not. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully and slew them. The gospel. Good news. People make you quick that what's gospel mean? It means good news. A wedding. The king has a wedding and he invites people to it. Depending on how you look at it, as far as the good news is concerned, whenever men think of good news, they think of something good for them, where they're at. When God offers good news, I don't think people like His good news. His good news sounds bad to them. That means they're going to have to change their ways. But the king set forth his wedding. He prepared his dinner, his oxen, his fatlings were killed. And he bid them come to the marriage. He prepared something that was good on his part and extended the invitation. And those that he called wouldn't come. He sent forth his servants. God sends His preachers. with the message and the opportunity to turn from sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and the people won't listen. They don't want to hear that. They don't have ears for that. So they're not interested. It's not good news to them. It's bad news. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. God has opened his kingdom to us. God has opened his kingdom to us. We're too busy. So easy to allow things to just get in the way. To quit in the middle of the day and go to a wedding. In the physical sense, to me, about the hardest thing in the world to do is to waste a day sitting through a bunch of baloney at a wedding. This is not just a wedding. This is the kingdom of God that He's extended. It's a lot easier just to stay home and tend to things that need to be done. But the kingdom that God has offered is much, much more valuable than that. I think that's why He chose this parable, because He knew how men were. There isn't many men that I know that just enjoy going to a wedding and being there having a big fuss about it. Whenever they know there's things to be done that are more worthwhile. But whenever people would see who it is that's opening the door to the kingdom, what they have to do means nothing compared to the kingdom of God. We had a wedding in Peru. It lasted about 5 minutes. This couple that we've been working with for quite a while, visiting with from time to time, had been living together, I suppose, 10, 12 years maybe. It's pretty common in Peru. You just find a woman and start living with her, and they call them wives, but they never make any covenant or make any commitment to each other. They had three children. And one of the first things they wanted to do before they committed to following the Lord was to have a wedding. A wedding is basically whenever two people make it public that this is going to be my wife and this is going to be my husband as long as we both shall live. So I just told them to prepare a vow to each other, a covenant that they could make to each other, and tell it to each other. I didn't tell them what to say. I don't find anywhere where God calls the preacher to join people in marriage. Two people committing themselves publicly to each other is what makes a marriage. We'll witness what you did, and that's all we did. We just witnessed that they were covenanting with each other. It was a real blessing. These made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Why was the king wroth? Because he, trying to make reconciliation, sent people, sent men, sent his servants. The people made light of it and treated them spitefully. And they slew them. They despised his wedding. And he destroyed them. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage." So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here the king was looking for people to come to his wedding. And as he went through the wedding, he found one there that didn't have on the proper garments. And he bound him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. He came in another way. This is what I think the Lord was talking about when he said, "Lest they be converted and I heal them." They might get slipped into the wedding, but if you don't put on the right garment, you don't have the right garment, you're still none of his. It's not about just getting into the wedding. It's being there as a proper guest. For many are called, but few are chosen. We can get into the wedding. In John, it says that John chapter 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The same is a thief and a robber. I think that's what modern Christianity has done. People have gotten a hold of the Bible, picked out their promises, built their religions, built their belief systems. But they're going to be found not to have the garment that Jesus is talking about whenever the king comes in for the inspection. It's almost overwhelming sometimes. To see how firmly and how strong this foundation of these false religions. But it's a blessing that once in a while we still find someone with ears to hear and eyes to see, that you can share the Word of God with. And they understand. They know what you're talking about. We're at war. Talked to Brother Marcus this morning. He's in Reynoso. He said, you can't believe what the people there in Reynoso are going through. Just yesterday I saw or heard or something on the news about they had a birthday party for a 15-year-old girl. And the drugs somehow, the drug lords got in there and killed 13 people. There's a war going on. They were driving down the street to get some parts, and 100 yards ahead of them, all the traffic stopped, and there was a bus turned sideways in the street. And Eloy said, we better get out of here. And so, sure enough, they saw all the brake lights come on and everybody started turning around and scattering. Then the next day, they go right back down there. They hear the pad of machine guns. There's just absolute chaos there. That's nothing compared to the war that we're in. Nothing compared to the war that we're in. They feel so helpless. Marcus told me that, and I said, they feel like I feel, or felt on Friday night. I don't know that I've ever felt so helpless in all my life. but how strong some of these teachings are. And there's just hardly anything you can do. Almost gets, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We just keep on doing what the Lord told us to do. We're not going to be understood. We can't explain it. Corinthians makes it very clear that those things are spiritually discerned. And when we try to mentally discern the Word of God, we're going to come up with the wrong answer. We might come up with a way to get into the wedding, climb over the fence. We might think that we have the gospel figured out and climb over a fence and find ourselves on the right side of it. But we're not going to get past the King without a wedding garment of being a part of the kingdom. People might get themselves converted, get themselves changed, saved from this world and its vices. But if they don't get a hold of the kingdom of God and become a disciple of the kingdom, they're there without a garment. The message sounds so convincing. Our message is still the same one that the Holy Spirit was preaching in Acts. Whenever Paul stood before Felix, he reasoned to him of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I believe the two men that are killed in Revelation that were hated by the whole world, that laid their bodies lay dead in the streets for 3 days, and the world sent gifts to each other. The Bible talks about that their message will be sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It's not going to be a message about how God can just save you. Give you all the promises without you following and being a part of His kingdom. We got a message for the world, but don't give them the pearls. This world is not worthy of the love of God. It's not worthy of the love of God. I'm not worthy of the love of God. But because we can tremble at His word and follow it, He'll still give it to us. Not worthy of all the good things God would have for us. And they're not a light thing. Jesus had to be a slave before He was the King. He was a servant. Lord willing, we're going to have a foot washing in a little bit. Jesus gave us the example of how He came as God from heaven. And He became a servant. He humbled Himself and He washed His followers' feet. Those that had ears to hear. God help us as we strive to enter in at the straight gate. Help us to tremble at His word, not try to explain it, not talk about it, but to do it. Let it judge us. Don't be its judge. That's what a theologian does, is judges the Word of God. They don't tremble at it. Lord, help us.